Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw Burlington Business Park Tullamore, your main supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands. WORshaw.ie.
Good evening and welcome to Country Life here on Midlands 103. MJ Cleary with you for the next hour, bringing you the latest from the Midlands and further afield from the worlds of agriculture, food and agribusiness. Now, thank you all for joining me this evening, and what a week of weather since I was speaking to you last. Rain, rain, rain and more rain. With today taking the biscuit altogether, I almost got afraid this morning when I was sitting inside looking out at the rain it was making. I had cattle still out. Well, last year's calf, so we're talking runners, 6-7 months old. They were still out, and I went down to the shed, and down to the field, with a view to putting them into the shed. And thankfully, they were all still standing, given the type of weather it was this morning, and they are in safe and sound as of this evening. Still have other cattle out. It is still quite early, and there's still plenty of grass around. But given that weather the last few days, it has been just really, really, really tough on stock. Given to be a little bit better at the weekend, Saturday is given a good day, so I suppose that's something. If you are planning on moving cattle around, maybe Saturday could be the day for it. But really, really, really bad weather over the course of the last few days, and water lying everywhere, even in high fields, high ground, and it is hopefully abated now for the coming days. On to this evening's programme, and plenty to get through as usual. Now, as we know, the new cap will be coming into play in just under 2 months on the 1st of January. With policy shifting rapidly towards a reduction in stocking rates, there's serious concern in the dairy sector about what figure for nitrogen will be attributed to dairy cows in the new year. It's not set in stone yet. There are rumours that the higher figure of 106 kilos of nitrogen per cow could be attributed, which is a big increase from where it's at today and would make farmers have to rethink stocking rates in relation to their nitrates. Of course, 170 is still the rule, and if you're over that, you have to go into derogation. So it's still up in the air. Stephen Arthur, the dairy chair of the IFA, will join me later to shed some light on the subject. The BioFarm 2022 is a conference taking place next week in County Leitrim. It's in person and it's online. It's all about biofarming, which is not only organic farming, but it's farmers who are farming in harmony with the environment. There's a big push on organics, as we know at the moment. We had Pippa Hackett on last week. There's big payments being made there, and it's where policy is going at the moment. So this conference fits in well with it. It has different things like agroforestry and biodynamic farming. Later, we're going to hear information about those two areas, that of biodynamic farming and also agroforestry, its benefits, and how the speaker, Dr. Jim McAdam, he's done extensive research on agroforestry and how he believes it's something which all farmers will have to consider in some way in the future. Now, when I was researching this earlier, a lot of people think, to hear of agroforestry and you hear forestry, you think about a 10 or 12 acre field and trees being planted all the way up through the middle of it and it being unfarmable. But he assures me, and we'll be talking about this later on, that that's not the case, that we're talking about pockets of trees here and there in along hedgerows, in the corners of fields, and that's the system that can be adapted to. So we'll hear more about that a little bit later. Now, the Irish Farmers Journal's Tullamore Farm, they had a replacement heifer sale in Rosscrea last week, this night last week, and with news of that, and also the absurd decision by the department to give the €20 dairy calf payment to dairy farmers and take it away from dairy beef farmers, which was announced a little over a week ago. Adam Woods will join me to speak about that. Adam will also give an update on the cattle trade at the moment. We'll talk, obviously, that €20 payment being moved across to the dairy farmers. It's a head scratcher, no question about it. It's already, belief is quite low in the beef sector at the moment, and then a measure like that, you would have to wonder. So we'll hear about that in just a moment. Now, as always, please text the show with your comments, thoughts or questions to 083 3010 103. Be happy to put anything to our guests here this evening. To start the programme, we are going to be speaking about acres, and with the deadline fast approaching, lots of farmers are under pressure. We have Noel Feeney. Noel is the president of the Agricultural Consultants Association. Noel, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Thank you, MJ, and good evening to all your listeners.
Noel, we haven't had you in the programme before. It's just a little bit of background. You're not a Midlander, but you're not a million miles away. Can you tell us where you're practising, please?
I'm based between, I suppose, the triangle between Elphin, Carrick and Shannon and Boyle. So just slightly off the Midlands, MJ. I'm practising agricultural advisor for the last 25 years. And you know, been through many schemes, or since, I suppose, since the old days of reps, and we've gone through EOS, GLOS, and now we're in the middle of ACRE. So, look, at a lot of years into KPMG, unfortunately.
Ah, yeah, well, with a lot of years comes a lot of experience as well, Noel. And this ACRES scheme, obviously up in your neck of the woods, a lot of people interested in it, and as there are throughout the Midlands also. We'll talk about waiting lists and how busy ag consultants are in a moment. But first, the mechanics of the ACRES scheme. How are you finding it from a work perspective, Noel? Is it hard to get the plan done up? Is it time consuming? What are farmers thinking about it?
Well, I suppose, MJ, I think just a brief look back to the introduction of the GLAS scheme back in 2015-2016. We had three tranches which got in around 50,000 farmers. We were given 3 to 4 months per tranche. This time with ACRES, we received the final specification for tranche one on the 6th of October. The closing date for ACRES is the 21st of November. And also, MJ, remember, there's also another big scheme side by side with that, which is the new organic farming scheme. And there's huge interest in that as well. And that is closing on the 9th of December. So, look, I don't know, it's a pile-up, I suppose, for want of another word. The weather, look, as you mentioned there briefly on your intro, weather is very poor, ground conditions are very poor. The mechanics of the scheme is far more detailed and far more time-consuming than the previous schemes. So basically, we're working off a generic land management system. It's called GLAMS for short. And every individual farmer has an expression of interest, and we bring up their maps on that, and we have to vet them. There's about 30 different layers on that map, you know, basically reflecting water quality in the vicinity, pollution impact potential maps, regarding phosphates and nitrates in the area, whether you have NHAs, SSCs, the different types of birds that might be on your land, including geese and swan, swans, Environmental Protection Agency, rivers, etc. So a lot of stuff, so-called environmental assets on that system. So based on what you have, we have to direct people to do the right action in the right place. Then MJ, then that's followed up then with a farm visit, and also satellite photographs have to be taken, which go up directly into the generic land management system itself. So it's quite detailed, quite prolonged, and as I say, the timeline is a huge difficulty, MJ.
For payments then, Noel, for the plans you're going to manage to get through, because look, given if it's a one-man operation, like there's only so many hours in the day, and there's only going to be so much you can do in that short space of time, but on average for the plans you're getting through, what sort of payments are people looking like they're going to get per annum on the scheme?
Well, I think it's a very aptly named scheme, ACRES. I think you need plenty of ACRES for this scheme to get a good to get a good payment, which a maximum of 7,300 for the general action, the general part of the scheme. Also, MJ, as you're aware, there's a cooperation part of it as well too, where certain parts of the country are designated into cooperation zones, be water quality, core use. You know, there's about eight different management companies in the country set up to manage those areas. So again, you know, depending on where you fall in the map, your method of entry will be through cooperators. But look at it, it's very time consuming, MJ. And a lot more time consuming than GLAS. Look at our members. We have over 250 members in every corner of the country. You know, in your part of the country there, we'd have 10, 12 members there in Offaly and Laois. And look at, we're working around the clock. But the time is coming now where a lot of us will be closing our offices. We have to concentrate on getting the farms walked. We have to concentrate on getting the paperwork done. And unfortunately, all our clients, you know, are not going to be visited. The time frame isn't there to do it. We will be asking them to have patience and reopen again Q4 next year. It's just an immense amount of work to do in a short time period, and the weather is very poor at the minute.
And what would you like, Noel? Would you like, say, this to be called Tranche 1, and would you like Tranche 2 then to open maybe 1 February 2023 or something again? Like, if you could have a magic wand, or if the Minister was listening, what would work for you and for your customers or clients?
I think a magic wand would be very ideal. You have to remember, MJ, that we have a totally new single farm payment system operating next year from February to the 15th of May. It is called the BISCRIS and ECO scheme. And again, you know, everyone's entitlement values are changing. People will be asking questions. So we'll be sitting down with all our clients. They come from maybe early February to the 15th of May. So there's not much time to open up many schemes in that period either.
Yeah, so it's looking like whoever gets into it now, Noel, gets into it. And if you don't make the cut now, you're probably going to be talking this time next year. Like, realistically, if you know what I mean, it's not going to happen mid-May 2023. So then again, you're going to be talking June, July, August, you know, at the earliest next summer.
At the earliest, MJ. And the reality of the situation is many farmers out there will have no environmental scheme payment in 2023. And, you know, from what members are telling me, you know, around the country, you know, they're dealing with people for many, many years, maybe 15, 20, 20 years plus, and they're just having to say to them, you know, I'm sorry, the time frame isn't there, we can't get to you, but we'll get to you next year. And, like, it's unfortunate because there's a huge relationship built up there between advisors and their clients over the years, and especially, you know, within the ACA, our members are dealing, you know, farmers are dealing with the same person every year, which builds up a huge amount of respect and trust. But again, it's all back down to the timeline in here, unfortunately.
Yeah. Noel, I'm going to say many thanks for joining me here on the programme this evening, and we will speak to you again. Many thanks, Noel.
Very welcome, MJ. Thank you very much.
And that's Noel Feeney there, and he is the president of the Agricultural Consultants Association. Bit of a mess, really. The acres, no question about it. The amount of people I've been speaking to in the last week or two as well, that just say that their consultants can't get to it. A crazy amount of work that goes into it and a very short space of time, and really not good enough that farmers are going to miss out on an eco-scheme payment as a result of it and the way it's been done. So badly handled, mismanaged, and also the organic scheme running alongside it. And there are only so many ag consultants in the country. There's not that many of them. And in the last few years, people may not have been using one, might just been doing a single farm payment themselves. And then when you ring up, and obviously if you're not on the books with someone, it's tougher again. So a big mess up there in relation to that. And hopefully the people who've applied will get in. Now, just before I go to a break, I have a new listener this week in Castletown, County Offaly. We have Miss Maya Maeve Cleary. She was born this time last week, a new baby girl in our house. She arrived safe and sound this night last week. Well, actually, Thursday morning, did the programme, went home, and Thursday morning she arrived. So a big shout out to Maya, and also a big shout out to our older brother, Jack, who you may have heard me reference on the programme here and there. Jack is 2.5, and he is being really helpful at the moment. Joe Cooney just came in and gave me a big thumbs up. He's been really helpful with baby Maya over the last few days. So he's getting nappies and he's helping with wipes and he's doing everything. So we want to give a big mention to the best big brother in the Midlands. Mam and baby both doing really well. And just before we go to a break, we're going to play a little request for Jack because he's been so good for the last week. So we're going to listen to maybe a minute of it. This is his favourite tune, and it's one I think you'll all like.
Are you ready? Tractor Ted is asleep in his shed as the cockerel says good morning. So much to do, Farmer Tom and Mish too, down on the farm exploring. Welcome to the farm with Tractor Ted. Let's go see the farm with Tractor Ted. There's no time to rest, we've come to see you farming. Go and grab the keys for all your machines, let's get them up and running. Welcome to the farm with Tractor Ted. Let's go see the farm with Tractor Ted.
And that was Tractor Ted. If that's a song we hear once in our house today, we hear it maybe 10 or 15 times. Tractor Ted is the main man, and that was especially for Jack Cleary, best big brother in the Midlands. And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now, Adam Woods from the Farmers Journal joins me. Adam, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Good evening, MJ.
Adam, busy week last week for Tullamore Farm, and you had your heifer sale this night last week in Ross Grey. How did it go for you?
We're happy, MJ, I suppose. We were up €160 on last year, 100% clearance. We averaged something like, I think it was 2,038 for the full batch of heifers. I think the ing calves were up at 2,230 or something like that. So looking for 18, 20-month-old heifers, really, really happy with that. Couple of repeat customers back in, looking for those high replacement index heifers. We were happy. I suppose maybe the drought maybe hit us a wee bit, and maybe the heifers were a wee bit lighter maybe than other years. In terms of, you know, weights, but still we're very, very happy with that sort of a clear. You know, in terms of, it really hones us in again on Flex Semen on Tullamore Farm, because our heifers are leaving way more than our bulls. Like, our bulls averaged 2,085 for 2022, the bulls we killed this year, and we'll say they're a tonne and a half a meal in them, whereas these heifers here are averaging 2,230 and they've only maybe 300 kilos a meal. And, you know, the only meal they would have got was last winter at a sort of a kilo and a half for 100 days, and they've got a wee bit of weaning as well. So, you know, that there's a difference day and night in the margins of those two animals.
And what was the breeding with those, Adams, the in-calf?
I hold them, yeah, mostly Simmentals and Limousines, a few Charlies on it, all in-calf to easy calf and Limousine bulls, and easy calf and Solaire bulls, and some in-calf to the stock bull as well. So the index is up at 140. They were all five-star, all eligible for BDGP. Good weight gain throughout the line. You know, grass-fed, they're not this usual. Maybe we see some in-calf heifer sales this time of the year, and maybe they'll be, you know, three-year-old heifers and a lot of Belgian blue breeding. I'm not saying nothing's wrong with that, but we're not in that game. We're in good functional cows, and we sort of have a customer base there that's coming back every year. Those cows are obviously performing, those heifers are performing on them farms. So, look, we're happy that's the route. Look, figures aren't for everybody, and we're not completely sold on figures either. We're following the index. It's working for us. All those heifers are going to calve a two-year-old. And talking to a couple of the guys that bought heifers before, look at those heifers are going on to calve again at 3-year-old again, so there's no issue there. That's a big net that we have to grasp on the beef end of the house as regards calving a 2-year-old. So look, we can look to Tullamore Farm as regards how we might be doing that, and that's just keeping weight gains going all the time, you know, and keeping your heifers at target weights along the way.
And talking about weights then, we often talk about cows and economical cows going forward. What sort of weight will those cows be on average, Tullamore Farm, your adult cows? What sort of weights are you talking?
Yeah, so we're hovering sort of around there 7-10 in terms of mature cow weight on Tullamore Farm. And we'd be looking to sort of wean sort of 45-46% of that 7-10. So you're up sort of 330-340 in terms of a weight every year. But we'd like our heifer sort of to be up sort of between 360 and maybe 380 at breeding time sort of in May, when them heifers are around 15 months. And those heifers, it's important, I suppose, and that's a bit of a step away from calving at 3. Those heifers, when they calve down in spring, they need to be looked after, and they need to go back to good grass. And maybe even we on Tullamore Farm, we sometimes wean a little early for those first calved heifers and allow them time to recover again before they come into the shed. So there's a couple of wee management changes you need to do when you're a 2-year-old calving, but it's a big one in terms of profitability. It's a massive one as regards methane emissions, in terms of reducing emissions going forward, in terms of calving heifers at 2-year-old. So it's a no-brainer from our point of view, but we need to encourage more to do it.
And if you're starting at 360, Adam, and if you're getting up to 700 kilos at 2 years old, you're going very well. You know what I mean? There is plenty of weight gain over the course of that period of time.
Yeah, there is. I suppose those heifers of ours on Wednesday night, they're probably up sort of between 500 and 550 kilos. They'll probably calve down somewhere around 600. And then they're still growing up until they're about 4-year-old. So they're going to put on another 120 kilos then across that sort of second lactation and third lactation. So, it's a step, as I said, away. And you know, management needs to be good, but the benefits far outweigh the negatives. And people sort of say, look, it'll stunt your heifer and it's very difficult to do it and your heifer will be hard calved. We're not finding that on Tullamore Farm. If you use a good, easy calving bull, a good proven bull, there's genuinely no issue with calving those heifers at 2 years of age.
And in relation to the rest of management at Tullamore Farm at the moment, Adam was talking about the weather here at the start of the programme and incredible rain here the last few days in the Midlands. Stock still out? Are you housing? What are you up to?
Yeah, so we're housing, basically grazing is finished there. Look at those little sheep beatings that'll be out and they'll mop up the rest of the grass for the rest of the year. The cows are in, with the calves are in, we're holding out weaning heifers, but they're in now as well. So look at just this last few days, just rain has been too heavy, ground conditions got very wet. We had grass, but we're lucky in that, look at there's ewes there and they'll finish off whatever grass is there. Sean usually sort of houses them up sort of around Christmas time in advance of lambing sort of beginning of March. So they'll walk away around some of those heavy covers and look at the ideal, I suppose, any farm that has them now in terms of walking off some of that grass. Because the genuinely was grass and we had good covers out there, but just that rain is really finished it for the last few days.
And Adam, news in the last, it was about a week before last, dairy calf scheme, uproar really in beef farming, especially people who are rearing dairy calves. The €20 payment moving from beef farmers across to dairy farmers, it's a real head scratcher, this one. Adam, what are you making of this?
Yeah, look, we received a huge reaction to this, MJ, and look, there's massive frustration and uproar about this. You know, we were down in Cork last week at the CAP meeting, and it was a big discussion point down there as regards why would the department do this. And look, they've maybe reneged on a few things since it was announced, and in terms of it's going to be okay for 2023, so farmers, beef farmers, that payment is going to stay with beef farmers from 2023, and from then onwards it's going to move to dairy farmers. 5 million in funding. 20 euros a calf to weigh up to 40 calves, so it was a payment of 800 euros. You might say, look, it's not hectic, but it was a help to dairy beef farmers. And to be honest, it's more the aesthetics of it, and it's more the look of the thing in terms of trying to help out these beef farmers that are buying these dairy calves from the dairy herd. The department has said that they've looked to Brussels for that fund, we'll say, in the next round of CAP, and Brussels refused that. They said that weighing calves wasn't a welfare measure. This money has been drawn down on a welfare fund, the 5 million. So it moves now to dairy farmers to use high DBI bulls. Originally, 2 weeks ago, it was on high DBI AI bulls. The department have come out now and said that stock bulls, high DBI stock bulls, will also be eligible. So calves born from high DBI stock bulls will also be eligible. But look, it's really, farmers are just a bit frazzled over it, to be honest, in terms of looking at that fund. People might have thought that fund would increase. And look, at the common sense approach here was go with, get beef farmers, encourage beef farmers to buy high CBV or DBI calves. That would then encourage dairy farmers to use those good bulls on their herd, and you would create a demand for those good calves. But that doesn't seem to wash at the department. But that in my mind, that would have been the ideal way to do it, and leave that payment with the beef farmer. Because look, call a spade a spade. We need beef farmers out there to buy those dairy calves, or else we'll have big problems in the spring.
Going to be big problems in the spring, Adam, no question about it. And I'd say that's going to be a final nail for certain calf rearers. I can imagine it will be. As you say,
yes,
it's not the be-all and end-all, the 20 euro, but it's more of a little bit of a support, a little bit of a helping hand, and showing that the department are happy people are rearing these calves.
Absolutely. Speaking to calf rearers over the last two or three weeks, we spoke to a lot of them. You know, milk prices are heading for 64 euros a bag. A lot of people are really doing the budgets now and doing the sums on. They're not sure about rearing calves next spring. And you know, any help at all would have been a benefit to that. But unfortunately, that's going to be taken away. And look, we'll watch that space as regards whether the department can do something else for those dairy calf beef rearers.
Finally, Adam, before I let you go, just a word on the cattle trade. Prices back over the course of the last few weeks. I can't see the demand, obviously not huge at the moment.
Yeah, it's probably steadied up in the last 10 days or so, a 4-day week this week, obviously, and prices have held steady, so that's good. Kills still up at sort of 39,000 in terms of last week, you know, in terms of 450 to 460 probably for bullocks, to 60 to 65 maybe for heifers to be got there. You know, I suppose cows, the cow kill went up 1,000 ahead last week, bullock kill came down 1,500. We're seeing a little bit of pressure maybe in retail markets, you know, cost of living squeeze, inflation, maybe around those premium cuts, but diced meat and mince is travelling very, very well. And look, we're still sort of that 30 cent off our main market, so you would have to say there's still a scope there to increase the beef price. And I think you will see that. I think you'll see steadying off now. There was a bit of pressure there getting cattle off land. I think over the next maybe 2 or 3 weeks, you'll see beef starting to creep up again. And look, it needs to creep up fast. In fairness, meal at 420 euros a tonne and the high cost of winter finishing. We need to see that winter finisher get out, basically. And we've done the budgets on that. You need close to 6 euros a kilo. We're a long way off that at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Many thanks for the roundup there, Adam. And we will speak to you again on the programme.
Thanks, MJ.
Adam Woodster from the Farmers Journal, and a roundup there on everything beef related. But the movement of that 20 euro payment from dairy beef farmers over to dairy farmers, I really think is just such a wrong move at the moment, when confidence is low in the beef sector. And as Adam said, milk replacer heading for 64 euro a bag. It's not the be all and end all 20 euro, but on 40 cans it's 800 euro, and it helps with bills at the end of the year. And I think it's going to be just something else that pushes people away from rearing calves in the spring. And it's a real mess up by the department, that one. That money has to just be got from somewhere else, put it up to 25, 30 euro a calf, and just give a hand with calf rearing costs, because otherwise, big, big problems next spring. I did mention that to the Minister at the Ploughing Championships. I asked him on two separate occasions if he felt there was going to be an issue with dairy beef calves next spring, and he avoided the answer both times, so time will tell. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about the nitrate figure to be attached to cows from the 1st of January next year. At the moment, it's up in the air, and we're going to try and see what the figure potentially could be. This has massive connotations for dairy farmers and stocking rates. targets going forward. And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now, I have Stephen Arter, the dairy chair from the IFA, joining me on the line. Stephen, many thanks for taking my call this evening here on the programme.
Anytime, MJ.
So, Stephen, what we're talking about is the banding of the nitrogen figure to be attached to cows from the 1st of January going forward. So, look, this is up in the air at the moment, but let's talk about what we know as of today, first things first. So, dairy farming today, what is the nitrogen figure attached to cows as we speak?
Well, from at the moment, it's 85 kilos for all cows.
Mm-hmm.
So, regardless whether she's given 4.5 kilos... or 10,500 kilos, or 4,500 kilos milk per annum, or 10,500 kilos per annum, she's on 85 kilos, right? So from the 1st of January, the under the new NAP, it's going to be graded into three bands. So you band one, right, that's up to 4,500 kilos per annum, that's 80 kilos of organic nitrogen. And then band two, 4,501 to 6,500 kilos is 92 kilos of nitrogen per hectare. And then band three is over 6,500 kilos, is up to 106 kilos of organic nitrogen per hectare. So band three covers 16% of the cows in the country. So to put that the other way, 84% of the cows in the country fit into band one and band two.
And there was talk then last week, Stephen, it was publicised that there was a potentially one catch-all figure. It wasn't going to be separated between band one, band two, band three. It was going to be a catch-all figure for all three. That was publicised in the national media. Is there any veracity or any truth to that?
No, what was publicised really was that the department, we were expecting the department to know who five farmers over the summer, where they would stand going forward, because they're all an average of the previous 3 years. So what the government, what the department come out and said is that due to GDPR, we cannot access your figures from the milk recording or through the different places we have it in Herd Plus or wherever. And they're saying, right, so that we can't access the figures, we're going to place everybody on the high end. And it's up to you then to contact the department and say, no, my figures is actually 4,500 or 5,500 or whatever. And that's what the department's saying. Now, we're very, very disappointed with this, that they're putting extra onus on the farmer to declare where he is, not up to them to say where the farmer is. So that's what they were publishing in the paper the other day.
And for the average dairy farmer, Stephen, so look, things are moving, as we know, like policy, EU policy is moving towards carbon reduction for the next cap, and that means stocking decreases or limits on stock or whatever way you want to say it or whatever way you want to massage it. It's the way everything is pointing at the moment. What's these bans, what are they going to mean to the average dairy farmer, say the man or woman who's milking maybe 100, 120 cows, how is it going to affect them?
Yeah, well, like there's a couple of issues here, right? First and foremost is the 220 on the other side. Like, there's a good fear now that you've heard that the department, it was a sort of a little tail on the end of the publication, that if the milk doesn't show, or if the water doesn't show direction of improvement, they're going to push that down from 240 or 250 down to 220. So that's a big guillotine there sitting ready to fall. And we have, you know, like, this is where the game is. So, right, you go to a guy now with, say he's on six, and don't forget now, MJ, it's 6,500 kilos of milk. So that is around 6,275 or 80, just under 6,300 litres, okay? Mm-hmm. So the way that's going to work is that that's calculating all the cows you have in your farm on the milk that's sold to the co-op. So if you're up around 240, up at the top or up at the higher end, and you're milking 128 cows, and this pushes you over, you could be back down there to about 107 or 8 cows very quickly. Like, we were in West Cork on farms where they had 70 cows stocked fairly tight up to the higher end. They were back 17, 18 cows.
Yeah,
that's
so
how serious this is.
Yeah, it's big numbers, Stephen. Like, you're talking huge percentage of your herd.
Yes, this is a serious, like, forget about your food vision here. This is what's going to do the job now.
And these bands then, band one, band two, band three, when will we know for certain these exact figures? Obviously, it's going to be closer to midnight, I presume closer to the end of December before they're announced officially.
Yeah, but Joe, we were on to the department there last week. Like, this is ridiculous stuff here. Like, the department have to come out now and start operating with farmers. And, like, this seems to be the trend. They seem to be just dropping stuff in. There's no communication coming out here whatsoever. Like, this has to be communicated, MJ, to farmers. Like, we're getting lots of phone calls from farmers who are at wits' end over this, like.
Yeah.
And there's a kind of a vacuum for information on this here. Like, this is all kicking into place on the 1st of January, don't forget. Like, 1st of January is getting very close. Now, it's 2 months away, less than 2 months away.
No, absolutely, Stephen. There's no question about it. And when you're dealing with people's livelihoods, you have to look at things in a professional manner. But we were dealing with farm schemes earlier on, and the closing date for the acres, 21 November. A lot of farmers aren't going to get in. It's tied in. The ag consultants can't get it done. There's, as you said, a new basic payment next year. Awful lot of stuff here on top of one another, and you would have to question it a little and scratch your head and ask what is going on.
Yeah, no, I just think there's a bit of a disrespectful here. Like, you know, farmers want to work, they want to operate inside these whole new climate measures, and like, you'd imagine there doesn't seem to be bring everybody with you here. It's more drive it on top of you rather than bring you along, like, you know. And it just gets very hardship when you're there talking to farmers and they're trying, like, we've lots of young farmers there. Like, don't forget, MJ, this was the policy back in 16 when the whole quote was stock up, go to use the derogation, stock your farm to its potential and work the policy. And now what we've done here, based on what's happening, as I keep saying to lads, they're doing a handbrake turn with the Titanic here, like, do it quick and get it fixed. And that's where the department's going. And they're not really worried. They don't seem to have any concern of the consequences on people's lives, that this is like, based on what they're doing, they're squashing in 15 years policy into 1 year now. That's what's going on here now at the minute, like, you know.
Yeah, very good. Stephen, we're going to have to leave it there, and I'll be speaking to you again on the programme. An update on this maybe in a month or 6 weeks, hopefully, when we have more details.
Anytime.
Thanks, Stephen. Stephen Arthur there from the IFA Dairy Chair. And those details are very scant, and massive difference on what people can do and what dairy farmers can milk next year. And again, as we say, up in the air, no definitive details as of yet. So we'll be keeping an eye on that going forward. Now, coming up after the break, we are going to be speaking about the BioFarm Conference. It is in County Leitrim next week, and it's all about farming biodynamically and farming organically. Now, when I was speaking to Adam Woods there a little bit earlier on the programme, you may have heard a little glitch, because I was greeted with a nice bottle of champagne here by Will Faulkner and Joe Cooney. They came into the studio, and we managed to keep the interview going at the time. Joe got a couple of pictures, and I'm sure they'll be up on our Facebook to congratulate us on our new arrival. So thank you, lads, and we still managed to keep the interview in check. And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now, we are moving on to the BioFarm Conference. It's taking place next week. And first things first, I'm going to speak to Sean McGlynn. Sean is the organiser of the event, and then we're going to have a conversation with a couple of the speakers at the event next week. Sean, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
No problem. Thanks.
So, Sean, you're on next week, Monday to Friday. Just to give listeners a little bit of an understanding as to what it is exactly you're speaking about, the BioFarm Conference. So, what biofarming, what is it exactly?
Well, BioFarm, I suppose, is the name we've put on this event every year, and it's to talk about biological agriculture, or basically soil health. What happens in the soil that makes our farms healthy? What happens in terms of, or what we can do to increase that soil health, to increase farm productivity? And for many people, it's when we talk about it, some people think about organic agriculture, and it is why organic farming can work. But, you know, the biological element of this is less about the rules and regulations, and more about understanding soil biology, microbial activity in the soil, and how you can balance it, or how you can work with it to increase productivity. And I suppose the science has started on this about 20 years ago out of the States more than anywhere else, and has spread to us through Europe and the UK as well. So So the event we run is basically a mix of, we'll say, people who start to understand the science and practical examples from farmers who are practicing this in Ireland. And there's also then the related things around like trees and stuff like that. And so we would have 28 speakers over the 5 days. And of those 5 days, then maybe 60, 70% of those would be farmers. And we'd have advisors, like we have James Foley from Chagas talking on the use of clovers. And we have the likes of Joe Keller looking at organic dairy options. Then we'd have different organizations speaking on the research on farms they're doing. And we've a really interesting speaker, Jerry Alford, coming from the Soil Association of the UK. And he's talking about this farmers carrying out research on their own farmers so it can be delivered to farmers long term. So it's a bit of a mix away, but it's all around this idea that you can still have productive agriculture, but at a low input cost.
And Sean, for people who are interested in attending, so obviously people can attend in person. You're in the Landmark Hotel up in Carrigan-Shannon. But for people down the Midlands, maybe a bit of a spin up to that part of the world, you can also access this online. So how do we go about doing that?
Yeah, it's nots.ie, but not.ie, and you can come for the week. You can come for a day, or you can buy it all online, and it's €50 for the, and you register on that.ie, relatively straightforward.
Very good. Well, Sean, we're going to leave you there and we're going to say many thanks, and I'm going to move on to a couple of the speakers. That's nots.ie if you want to access it, and I'll have details of that a little bit later. And two of the speakers I have now. So one is Trevor Harris. Trevor is a Kildare biodynamic farmer, and he's speaking on Wednesday at the event. So I'm going to say many thanks for joining me this evening, Trevor.
That's no problem, MJ.
So we're talking biodynamic farming. In a word, Trevor, what are we speaking about when we talk about that?
Well, in a word, sustainable. So it's the original sort of form of organic farming, and it comes from a series of lectures that a chap called Rudolf Steiner gave in 1924. And he was approached by a number of farmers and vets. And they saw their soils degrading, and they saw their animal health degrading, and their plant health degrading, and they asked them what they should do. And he put together a system of agriculture, and that's basically the basis of biodynamic agriculture.
And what are we talking then? Import. So obviously you're an organic farmer, so no chemicals, no fertilizer. But what additives or what else are you doing with the land that's a little bit different?
Yeah, so you're excluding all chemical. Chemical fertilizers and pesticides, and then you're also using a set of homeopathic remedies to improve the health of your soil and the working of your soil, and you're using another homeopathic type remedy to improve the photosynthesis of the plant, and the two sort of work together to produce a healthy system of agriculture.
Those products then, those homeopathic products, where do you access them, Trevor?
So there's a biodynamic association in Ireland. It's the Biodynamic Agriculture Association of Ireland, and they will have the biodynamic preps. So it's Horn Manure is the one for the soil, and Horn Silica is the one for the photosynthesis of the plants. And they'd have them available, and they're reasonably cheap.
And how are they disseminated onto the land?
So you'll dynamise them and activate them in water, and then you spray that water out on the land.
And they have the function of, say, in the lines of soil fertility, or look, as P&K, as farmers will be testing, that they keep the soil good and fertile, and they grow grass as well. Is that the way it works?
So so what you're trying to achieve is you're trying to get the soil functioning properly. So the Horn Manure, when you apply that, it's going to aid the building of humus within your soil. It's going to help balance the nutrition that's in your soil, and it's going to also help to encourage the biology that's within the soil. And all these things work towards your plant being healthy. And then when you, so it also when I sow a crop, I'll apply the horn manure, and that improves the germination of the seed. And then when you have the plant up and growing, it's going to be you're going to want to have it photosynthesizing well, and you'll apply the horn silica then to get the plant to photosynthesize better. And to use, we don't get a lot of sunshine in Ireland, so you want to make the most of what sunshine we do get. And when the plant is photosynthesizing well, it'll have it'll produce excess sugars more than it needs itself, and it'll feed those down through its roots to the biology and encourage the biology to proliferate. And there's a symbiotic relationship going then on in the soil, you know. So it's all working in a positive way to have healthier plants, and that'll lead to you having healthier livestock, you know.
Yeah, and when we're talking about plants, what type of farming are you actually doing, Trevor, on your holding?
So myself, I'm doing I have a mixture of beef, sheep, and cereals, and I also do some horticulture. So it's a broad mix of things.
Yeah, it's a broad mix. And your paper, your speech is on commercial biodynamic farming. So obviously that aspect, the commerciality aspect of it in relation to making some money, because that's at the end of the day what we all have to do in society. How is the commercial aspect of it? Like, are you profitable on your holding?
Yeah, so it is going well. Like, we are profitable, and like, ultimately I have kids and I have a wife, and, you know, in order for us all to function, like, we have to make money at the end of the day, you know. And with biodynamic agriculture, I'm able to make a decent profit, you know, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Trevor, many thanks for joining me on that. And I'm now moving on to agroforestry, and I have Dr. Jim McAdam on the line. Jim, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Thanks for having me on, MJ.
You're more than welcome. So agroforestry, again, coming in under the BioPharm conference, Jim. When people hear about forestry, they get a little bit perturbed and they think about going into nice green fields and planting them and the land being gone forever. Is that the case with agroforestry, Jim?
No, not at all. If you think of the big crisis that are facing us all, the biodiversity, climate crisis, and as Sean so said, I mean, the common denominator to all those is soil and soil health and soil fertility. Really, what we're talking about here is introducing trees into the farming, to the whole farming platform in one form or another, not taking land out of production, but if possible, increasing production, but certainly having sustainable production. Because the first thing farmers have to do is produce food. No matter about all the other crises and the reductions we make and sacrifices to get towards carbon zero, we have to recognise that people must eat. And so farming has to be first a food producing exercise. And if we want to integrate trees into that farming structure, we have to do it into an innovative way. It's not taking land out and putting it in block conifers or block forestry. We do need timber and we do need trees, but in this situation, we're talking about productive beef, dairy, sheep farms, integrating trees into those in a way that will not significantly reduce production, but will lead to these increases in biodiversity, and particularly in soil health, which will help increase the fertility of the land and help crops to grow either under the trees or just in association with the trees. I mean, it might be as simple as putting a row of trees around the inside of your hedge, maybe dividing up grazing paddocks with rows of trees, using pieces of the farm that are not so productive, and keeping your main grazing platform, if you're a dairy farmer, close to the farm, keeping that just as grass alone. It's looking at innovative ways of getting trees onto farms.
And the commercial viability of this then, Jim, so farmers are thinking about this, and obviously everyone wants to do their bit for the environment, and under the acre schemes you're going to have payment for planting. But for agroforestry in general, if you really wanted to go at it and plant, there's obviously going to be a cost involved. The cost-benefit of it, if you're not getting a payment for it, maybe do you foresee in a year or two's time, the more trees you have in a farm, you could be getting some sort of a carbon payment for it or something along those lines?
Definitely, MJ, that I think is the way ahead. And we're not saying that you would take land out of agriculture production, but that could be enhanced by having the trees if they're in a form that still allow you to farm productively. Against that, and along with that, of course, you're adding carb, you're adding societal benefits, you're adding you're increasing the sequestration of carbon, you're increasing water purity, you're reducing flood risk, because where you have trees there, the roots allow the water to percolate through the soil and prevent the flash floods that we're all seeing. So you're delivering these other benefits, which I think future agricultural support measures have to reflect, you know, that those farmers are delivering those goods and therefore they should be paid for delivering them. So I see future schemes involving a bit of lateral thinking and allowing farmers to put trees into their farms, but still continue to farm those as productive farms and providing the support, not just on under a forestry measure, because of course you can produce, I mean, the trees themselves have value. And if you have good quality, productive trees, that's an added bonus which you could have on a rotational basis. But also delivering these other goods, these, if you like, environmental or ecosystem services, which have an inherent value. You know, carbon is a value, water purity is a value, biodiversity. It's hard to put a value on it, but we know that governments are encouraging us to help address the biodiversity crisis with nature-based solutions, rather than in a synthetic or a mechanical way.
Yeah, it's absolutely the way things are moving. There's no question about that. Jim, I'm going to say many thanks for joining me this evening. And I'm going to thank Sean and Trevor also. And that is the BioFarm Conference. It is on next week. It's available online, nots.ie. And it's also available in person. If you go to nots.ie, you can see the details of it. That is it for this evening's programme. I'd like to also thank Stephen Arthur from the IFA, Adam Woods from the Farmers Journal, and Noel Feeney join me at the start of the hour speaking about the Acres scheme. Now, the show is repeated on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. until 8 a.m. You can also get us anywhere you get your podcasts. If you type in MJ space Cleary, C-L-E-R-Y, we will pop up and you can listen at your leisure. And I will be back with you this time next week, as always. So I'm going to say good night. God bless.